This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. A five-game slate on tap. I am your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. Hopefully you enjoyed an interesting day of basketball on Monday, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. There are games all day long. So for viewing pleasure, it was somewhat fun. But in terms of DFS, it made the slates crazy. There was an all-day slate starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, an early slate, a late slate starting at 7:30 Eastern. The late slate only had four games, and they ended up being four disgusting, sickening, horrifying games. So if you were like me and had to work and didn't get a chance to play the all-day slate and only played the late slate with the four games, it was just a bizarre, just a dream killer kind of night. Everyone just duds, bombs, minefields, traps everywhere. So luckily on DraftKings, I did really well. And on FanDuel, I did not do so well because I had Chris Paul as a core player in every FanDuel lineup I made. I didn't play a ton because remember on small slates like that, I'm not a big fan of playing a ton of money. And I do play only tournaments on a four-game slate because it is very hard to differentiate your lineups. Everyone's basically on the same kind of player, so I like to take chances. So that means it's mostly a GPP night for the judge. But any slate, there's money to be had out there. You should have to just – Monday was a – there were lots of obstacles that we had to get around. Before we dive into the show for Tuesday, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I know a lot of you have done that. To all of you, I say thank you. It is much appreciated. But some of you have not done that, and the judge is well aware of it. So if you haven't done it, while you're listening to the podcast, do it. It takes like 2 seconds. And also, I know it does take up memory on your tablet, on your app, on your computer, wherever you're listening to this thing. But if you could subscribe, that would be a big help as well. Also, please download the app Draft. Use the promo code DFBPOD when you download. Some of you say, judge, I can't find out where the hell to put that promo code when I download. If that's the case, just hit me up on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1, or you can email me via the website dgcourtroomdfs.com, and we will get that rectified for you. Also, when you email me or tweet me, let me know your username on Draft, because I will need to know that, but then I can just correct that for you. Also, if you would like a 30-minute or maybe an hour-long consultation with the judge, let me know. At some point, I may just stop. One, because I'm sick of giving you guys all the judge's secrets. But, you know, as the people who have done them with me already know, first of all, they take a long time. So now I've lately been doing a lot of them for an hour, and they're just, I don't have time as it is. I'm doing this show podcast at 4 a.m. in the morning. So just for time reasons, I'm not sure how much longer I'll be able to do the consultations, although I love doing them with you guys. It's a lot of fun, and I love sharing you with my research techniques, roster construction. Make sure you're entering the right contest. Figuring out your strengths is a big one to figure out what tournaments you should be entering in the first place. So for the time being, I am still scheduling those. So if you kind of want in, I would tend to let me know in the near future because someday I have a feeling I may just stop doing those. There's only one judge. I'm running out of steam. You guys can probably tell. Some shows, man. Ooh, it's hard. It's hard to do these shows for an hour or so late in the morning. I'm exhausted. So for the judge's sanity, I'm not sure how long the consultations will last. But for the time being, if you would like one, just let the judge know. And hopefully we can schedule something in the near future. Also, very soon, I'm hoping tomorrow, there will be some new five-day NCAA style bracket challenges to the death on the app Draft on the homepage right when you log in or right when you open up the app. So it's, the judge's chambers also is happening on Draft. And we had two of them run over the weekend, got lots of positive feedback. So I'm hoping to get some more started tomorrow or at the latest Wednesday. So be on the lookout for those. When they do open up, I will make sure to tweet out and let you guys know, because that's a lot of fun. I love doing the snake drafts. I'm getting positive feedback as well from you guys. So hopefully you guys are having a lot of fun with that as well on that. For Chambers, so I'm not sure what to do with Chambers, guys, for DraftKings. Right on Monday, we had 50 people in it, but it didn't fill. FanDuel fills immediately almost every night, within seconds. Well, DraftKings did not fill as fast. It was for 50 people. I had to tweet out the link like 3 or 4 different times. So it was a weird day, a weird slate. It was a weird day with Martin Luther King Day. A lot of people had the day off. Maybe you guys weren't paying as much attention. But also, I do know a lot of listeners, the demand for DraftKings is not as great as FanDuel. But I think for Tuesday, I will try again for 50. I'll put 50 people in the contest. And if it doesn't fill easily, though, I may have to lower that going forward, because I don't want to be – I can't be a secretary and be checking for, you know, chambers on – 3 chambers on FanDuel and DraftKings and Draft and all these different things. Well, I'm doing my own lineups and answering questions. Again, it's really just all about time. But what I would like all of you out there to be the judge's helpers. And if you guys could make if you're in a chambers, just, you know, give it a gander and check to make sure it is full. And if you do notice that it's not full and it's getting close to lineup lock, make sure if you want to tweet at me to let me know, that would be much appreciated, because I'm not checking. I don't have the time. So luckily, some of you have been good and letting me know. But just so, especially for DraftKings, if you guys could keep an eye on that. But for the fan, I guess for like the FanDuel ones too, if you want. And then if it doesn't fill, just make sure you let me know, so I do have a chance to tweet out the link. But if it doesn't fill easily on Tuesday, maybe we'll just lower it going forward for DraftKings. All right, let's talk about the Chambers winners for Monday night. The scores were low because when we get to the Dream Killers, everyone sucked, especially for Cleveland. I mean, they basically did a no-show. And then Chris Paul, who was heavily owned, got injured. Oladipo sucked. I mean, it was just Westbrook stunk. It was just a weird night. It was one of the lowest scoring nights I've seen all year. It was crazy. Not only in Chambers, but all across the industry. But we did have winners. People made money. So congrats to the number 2 ranked player in the power rankings at fucking Fantasy. SCAS is his name on FanDuel. His 4th win of the year, but his 14th cash. That is the second most cashes to the judge in Chambers on FanDuel. So congrats to him. Another guy who's in the power rankings, the number 10th ranked player. This is an up and coming player who has been a late crasher to Chambers this year, but he's coming on strong. MG Fresh, his 4th win of the year, his 9th cash, and then Dubs 1532 at Dubs 1528. I gotta tell you, man, the numbers confuse me. Why are you 1532 on FanDuel, but you're Dubs 1528 on Twitter? That's I would like to know that the backstory behind that, but. He also been a good listener, a good follower of mine. Good listener. What the hell does a good listener mean? He's been a loyal follower of mine all year long. His first Chambers win and his 3rd cash. So congrats to you, my man. Well done. All 3 of you have achieved Chambers glory. The judge salutes you. For DraftKings, we did have 50 people. It did fill up. The winner, I think it's the first multi-winner on DraftKings, maybe. Derek Ismail, named after Rocket Ismail. I don't know how many of you know that name. The former Heisman Trophy winner. I think he was. I think he went to Notre Dame. I think, right? But congrats to him. He looks like he's going to be one of the top ranked players when the power rankings for DraftKings come out, which I think they will be unleashed. I think either this Friday or Monday for the first DraftKings power rankings. Also, MG Fresh looks like he's not only good on FanDuel, but looks like he's good on DraftKings as well. He finished 2nd in DraftKings. CK Stevenson, 84, finished 3rd. MT Houston, 24, took 4th. And Bakre, 151, finished 5th. Right now, the payout structure in Chambers, I think out of 50 people, we had the top 10 were able to cash. And I think I may mix that up a little bit going forward, but 10 is like the most. I mean, that's basically top 20%, which is what a GPP does. So that's kind of why I chose that for Monday night. Dream Killers, Dream Lovers, I mean, dear God, Dream Killers everywhere. If you're pumped up to watch Cleveland Golden State, you were disappointed pretty quickly. You knew that game had the potential to be a blowout because Cleveland just wasn't there from the get-go. They were sleepwalking. Golden State was clearly the game was more important to them anyway. After Christmas, after the Cavs beat them last year, so they did have something to prove. But I thought the Cavs would put forth a better effort. Just a miserable road trip that Cleveland's been on the last week and a half or so. So LeBron didn't even hit 30 FanDuel points. Obviously, if you played him over Durant, you were probably crying a little bit. Kyrie didn't even hit 20 FanDuel points, one of his worst games of the year. Kevin Love, he played the first half and then faked a back injury because he didn't want to come back out there. So he was abysmal. I honestly faded him, so I don't even know what he ended up with, but he couldn't have had like 20 FanDuel points either. So horrible nights for those guys. If you played CP3, he played a half, almost a full half. He had 20 FanDuel points. He was on pace to have a really good night. I had him and DeAndre Jordan everywhere. DeAndre Jordan went nuts, and CP3 was on his way, and then he hurt his thumb. I mean, is this like his third or fourth injury this year? I mean, he's getting older. He's not a tin man, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he's tough as they come, but it looks like his body is having issues these days. He just can't stay on the court this year. So Dream Killer, he was my soul crusher, quite honestly, on this night. Super disappointing. Not to mention, then if you rostered a bum like Austin Rivers, then you ended up probably making some money because Austin Rivers got not only extra minutes but extra shots when CP3 went out. Derek Favors, I have him as a Dream Killer. I'm so tired of watching him play 24 minutes. When is he ever going to get like 30, 32, 34, 36 minutes on a consistent basis? Is that ever going to happen in the rest of his career? I'm just tired of rostering that bum and watching him grind away 20 FanDuel points. Like, he used to be a really good, talented player. Like, I'm just not sure what he is anymore. So in a really fast-paced game against Phoenix, I thought for sure he'd be able to give us like 30. He gave us 20 FanDuel points. It was okay, but it was, you know, you still expected more. Enes Kanter got the start for Adams. He was 80% owned in some of my single entry tournaments. So God only knows what he was in cash games, which I didn't play. He was expensive too, 6.2K, and didn't even put up 20 FanDuel or barely put up 20 FanDuel points. As OKC, without Chris Paul, most of the game got blown out by the Clippers. I don't know how the hell that happened. Bizarre, super bizarre game. So Enes Kanter, Dream Killer, what a buster. Devin Booker, the one trick pony, came back down to earth. I mean, he's coming off three straight 40-point nights. Was bound to happen against Utah. Tough game for Phoenix, even though the pace was pretty good in that game. But he was in like the 20s and for FanDuel points. Gordon Hayward, another one of the Utah guys. I mean, if you played him over LeBron, you probably still did okay because he had the same amount of FanDuel points as LeBron, except he was over $2,000 cheaper, 2.5K cheaper maybe. So while not a great game for him, in terms of on this slate, it ended up being okay. Westbrook, just abysmal at that price, cannot have a game like he had on Monday night. And then some of you guys, and I don't blame you, on a four-game slate, you take chances. Some of you guys played Alec Burks for Utah. He ended up with 9 minutes, I think zero FanDuel points. And so if you played him, you probably weren't too happy. But on a four-game slate, man, that's why you play tournaments. That's why you take chances. Dream Lovers, we had a couple of those for the second straight night. And for like the fourth time this year, you had a point guard just destroy Utah. I'm telling you, man, I think George Hill is one of the most overrated players in the NBA. I watched him play for too long. He's okay. He's like an average NBA player. Like, he was fine on San Antonio, was fine on Indiana, and now he's fine on Utah. But I never understood all the love he's getting this year. And he got torched tonight by Eric Bledsoe, who put up over 55 FanDuel points. And Elfrid Payton put up over almost 60 FanDuel points against Utah. So in back-to-back games, that's pretty impressive how Utah has been torched. So if you played Bledsoe, congrats. He was around 10% owned on this slate, so you got him at pretty good ownership and ended up being the high scoring player on the slate, which is pretty crazy. At least in the late slate. Draymond Green, really Bledsoe and Draymond Green were the two key guys, and I guess DeAndre Jordan to some extent. Draymond Green went up. He put up like 50 over 50 Fando points in that Golden State Cleveland game, even though he didn't play a ton of minutes. Although I will say this, man, Golden State had their starters up until like 6 minutes in the fourth. LeBron averages 37 minutes a game this year in the regular season. That's more than Jimmy Butler. That's more than Westbrook. Like, what the frick is Ty Lue doing? Like, why is LeBron playing this many minutes? Cleveland was down 25 to, like, starting the fourth quarter, and LeBron comes back in with like 10 minutes to go. It was like, I'm not sure what the hell that was. It was a regular season game. Like, what are you guys doing? Especially Cleveland. I mean, LeBron's been in the league 14 years. Like, well, how they're monitoring his minutes this year has been just really bizarre. But anyway, so even though it was a blowout, a lot of the guys played big minutes. So Draymond Green had a really good game. Durant did fine. Curry did fine. Crash Brothers, Klay Thompson did okay. But Draymond Green was probably the best player for Golden State. Austin Rivers, I don't think he was going to get there, but then Chris Paul went out, and then in garbage time, after they were already up by 20, he came up with like 6-8 Fando points late to come up with like 25 Fando points total. So it made him a dream lover, even though he stinks. DeAndre Jordan was a monster, over 50 Fando points for him. God, I had him, man, if just Chris Paul just would have played, it would have been beautiful to watch those two together tonight. JJ Redick's been good for the last five games, almost, I think, close to 30 Fando points again. Joe Ingles got the start with Rodney Hood out, and he grinded away 23 Fando points. Kelly Olynyk did fine for Boston, ended up with over 30 Fando points. And Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder ended up with more Fando points than LeBron or Gordon Hayward, a small forward. Go figure. All right, injury news. Only a five-game slate on Tuesday, and it's a weird slate. Potential blowouts. You got the Spurs and Dallas in action. So, man, I cannot wait till Wednesday and Friday this week. I think even Thursday when there's actually, slates with a bunch of good games. Although I am somewhat intrigued by this five-game slate. And it's definitely better than the four-game mess we had on Monday night. But injury news, Clint Capella looks like he's questionable with the left fibula. I hope that he is out because I want some more value on this slate. And when he comes back, it's going to be – I'm not sure, I guess – if he's going to split minutes with Harrell and then Nene won't play anymore, I'm not sure what D'Antoni's going to do going forward because Capella's minutes were on the decline anyway. Jeremy Lin, of course, is still out with that hamstring. I mean, man, talk about in my season-long leagues, he's been one of the biggest disappointments I've had. I mean, what has he played, three games this year? I mean, what a buster. Patrick Patterson, questionable with a knee. Nikola Mirotic has this mystery illness going around. He's questionable again, like his third or fourth or fifth straight game. Gary Harris is doubtful with a right ankle sprain. Denver, man, on what they did on Monday, another coach who thinks he thinks he's so clever. Why would I start Will Barton? I'm going to play Jameer Nelson a ton of minutes. Didn't make sense, although Jameer Nelson went nuts. So, you know, Jameer Nelson, if Gary Harris is going to be out, is an intriguing sneaky ninja play on Tuesday. Jordan Clarkson dealing with an ankle injury, so he's questionable. And then Darrell Arthur is questionable for Denver. Kenneth Faried actually got the start for Denver as well on Monday, and he had a really good game as well. So there's going to be some Denver guys that we might have to use in tournaments on Tuesday for sure. All right, let's take a trip to Vegas. So there's three really delicious over-unders and two disgusting over-unders. You got Denver, Los Angeles, 228. That's the highest over-under I've seen for a game, not with Houston and Golden State all year. So that's pretty phenomenal. So that's a good, delicious game to attack. Also, Toronto, Brooklyn, 227. Now, these two teams played, I think it was Friday, maybe Thursday. And Brooklyn kept it close for three quarters, and then Toronto, you know, blew them out in the fourth quarter. You know, Toronto's favored by 11. It is at Brooklyn. Brooklyn has one of the weirdest rotations in the NBA. That guy played 13 players last game, which I didn't even think was possible. I thought only 12 players are on your active roster. I mean, it's just a mess. I mean, no one gets more than like 24 minutes either. It's just his rotation is a disaster. So for the Brooklyn side, it's going to be a tough game to navigate. So probably, but you still can roll out guys like Kilpatrick and Booker, Brooke Lopez in tournaments. And even in cash games, if someone's dirt cheap, you may have to do it on this slate. Then you got Houston, Miami, 220 over under. Houston's favored by 7.5. That's a nice game to attack. Then the two nasty games, you got Minnesota at San Antonio. The Spurs are favored by 11, although Minnesota's playing pretty well these days, and the Spurs have been really bad lately. So you think maybe that game could stay close. 202 over under. And then a disgusting game in terms of pace. You got the Mavericks at the Bulls, 196 over under, with the Bulls favored by 5. I don't know if a lot of you remember this, but I remember it vividly. The last time the Bulls went to Dallas earlier this year, Wade did not play, and Dallas beat the Bulls in a disgusting game. So the pace for that one should be pretty ugly. But in a 5-game slate, you can't just cross off a game. We're probably going to have to attack players from each of these games. Pace, you know, the judge loves three things in life: the bailiff, usage, and pace. There's three teams playing way up in pace that I want to take advantage of on this slate: Toronto against Brooklyn, Miami against Houston, and the Lakers against Denver. And then also, Denver is playing up in projected pace. That's something I haven't really just talked about on the show. Maybe one of these days, when I have some extra time, we can get into projected pace. And I know a lot of you guys ask more macro level questions on Twitter. It's just hard to respond on Twitter in 140 characters to an overwhelming question of, you know, explain to me why team X is going to go up in pace, you know, when they're playing team Y. So it's sometimes I get more in-depth questions and it's just hard to answer. That's why I like things like the phone consultation where I can actually go, we can dive into that stuff. All right, defensive versus position. So you got Brooklyn. They are, I'm not lying, the judges are telling you the truth. They are dead last in defending point guard, small forward, power forward, and center. A lot of that has to do with pace because they play so fast. And also, they're just so bad. And then shooting guard, they give up the third most FanDuel points. So they're horrible everywhere. Denver, you attack them in the backcourt, they give up the second most FanDuel points to point guards. So D'Angelo Russell, who has not been good lately, is going to be an intriguing tournament play, and even a single entry tournament play on this slate. Maybe he can finally have a nice game. Also, you know, Gary Harris is out for Denver on Tuesday, so they've been bad at shooting guards all year, and I would expect that to happen again. Especially, maybe that's why they played Jameer Nelson over Will to throw Barton. I'm not really sure why they did it. Either way, though, both those guys are not good defenders. So, do I dare play Swaggy P on Tuesday? Lou Williams? I mean, they're going to be in play. Then you got the Lakers. I mean, they're basically Brooklyn, like a JV version of Brooklyn in terms of they're horrible defending every position as well. So every Denver guy is going to be in play. The Lakers give up the second most points to power forward, the third or fourth most to center. Who does Denver have these days? Only the best player on the planet right now, and that's Jokic. Wait till we get to him and see how – I mean, his price is just skyrocketing. So even guys like, you know, Moutier – like I said, Jameer Nelson, Wilson Chandler, Gallinari, all the Denver guys are going to be pretty good plays. And then, let's see. Houston cannot defend the power forward because Ryan Anderson just wants to jack up 28-foot three-pointers. So James Johnson's a really good play on this slate. And then the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs do struggle guarding. I mean, if you look at the Spurs DVP, it's pretty fascinating. They give up the fewest FanDuel points to point guards, the fewest to center, the second fewest to power forward, the third fewest to small forward, but they give up like the fifth or sixth most to shooting guard. So maybe a little Zach LaVine on this slate? Is he even going to play? I think he's finally going to play. So maybe LaVine gets it going? That sucks LaVine's back because now Rubio is probably going to take a hit. All right, let's hop into the plays. Let's do it. It's 5 games, so it gets ugly fast at each of the positions. All right, let's start with point guard. So you got not a ton of the high-end point guards on the slate. Kyle Lowry, top-priced point guard, 9K. He's been super efficient this year, playing excellent basketball. My only concern with him is his usage rate. It's not – at that price, it's not as high as I would want it. But when he last game against Brooklyn, played 36 minutes, 41 FanDuel points. If he gets 35, 36 minutes against Brooklyn, the floor has got to be 40 FanDuel points. He should be fine. Safe for all formats. I wish DeMar DeRozan would just one game, be like, you know what, Kyle, why don't you take some more shots this game? Because you're way more efficient than me, and it would help our team out. But no, DeMar DeRozan could never do that. But Kyle Lowry, safe for all formats. Elite play against Brooklyn. Then you knock down, you're already down to Goran Dragic, 6.7. I mean, it goes, they're not, you know, none of the, all the top stars played, you know, on Sunday in the last couple of days. They're not playing on Tuesday. Goran Dragic, 6.7K. And Tyler Johnson is 6.4K. So the, both the Miami guys are next up. And I thought with Deion Waiters back, Tyler Johnson would take a hit, but he has not lately. Let's talk about Dragic first a little bit. He's been fine. Not great, but somewhat consistent in the last five, six games. 29, 24, 36, 24, 33, 40. It is somewhat frustrating to watch Dragic play because late in the games, he will let Tyler Johnson do everything while he stands in a corner, as I think I've commented in the past. But he's got 29% usage rate. And on this slate, he's playing Utah, playing way up in pace. I mean, playing Houston, playing way up in pace. And, so, I mean, not a guy that I would love to roster in cash, but the price is fair. The pace is phenomenal. Yeah, you got Patrick Beverley, but not a huge concern for me right now. So if you want to play Dragic in any format, I think you can on this slate. Right now, I'm probably going to spend down a little bit at point guard, but I may change my mind and go Dragic. Tyler Johnson, another guy, pretty much safe for all formats. I would prefer him for tournaments because he is pricey. And I mean, he's got to give you 30 to hit over 30 really to hit value. He's done that, what, like three out of the last five games, but still, man, 6.4K, that's with Deion Waiters back. That, you know, thank God they're playing up in pace. So hopefully he gets some extra possessions, you know, but I do think he's in a great spot for tournaments, but he is expensive and I do prefer Dragic over Tyler Johnson. You got Darren Williams, 6.4K. I mean, I don't mind playing, you know, guys in this Dallas-Chicago game, you know, in tournaments because they're probably going to be low-owned. No one's going to want to touch that game for the most part. Darren Williams, he's gotten expensive too. He's been pretty good lately, 33 and 42 the last two games. Now, those were against Minnesota and Phoenix, so playing way up in pace. Now you get a team, you're basically playing similar to Dallas' style. So I think he's a little overpriced for this slate. I think there's much better value all around, so I'm not going to have a ton of him. Ricky Rubio. The problem for me with Rubio is he's been great lately. Is that if Zach LaVine's back, I mean, how much is going to impact Rubio? So he's been 29, 43, 40, 49 the last four games or so. You know, I still think the price is fair. You know, the Tony Parker defense doesn't worry me. You can attack the Spurs. But on this slate, just because of who's available, I think I prefer to go Rubio in tournaments only. D'Angelo Russell, 6K. We mentioned top of the show. Denver guards are atrocious. So, I mean, he's been so disappointing to me this year. The last three games, part of the reason is minutes. The last three games, he hasn't even hit 30 minutes, 26, 28, and 27 minutes. He actually has the highest usage rate on the slate for point guards. Him and Dragic are actually tied. So, you know, he's going to be in play. I won't use him in cash games, but single entry tournaments and GPPs, yeah. I mean, this is an elite spot for him, and he does have upside. He can give you a 40, 45 Fando point night. And if he's going to do it, it's going to be against a Moutier, Jameer Nelson tandem. So, he hasn't been playing well lately. I'm not happy about it, but you gotta let the slate dictate who you play. And the slate says D'Angelo Russell is a really good option. Patrick Beverley, right now, he may be a cash game play for me. He's 5.3K. He's cheap because he hurt his wrist and then he didn't shoot the ball, or he's having trouble shooting the ball for a couple weeks. Looks like he's somewhat corrected that. In the last game, he had 37 Fando points. I think he's just a super rock-solid, safe play on this slate. And there's not a lot of value. So if you want a guy like James Harden, which almost all of us are probably going to roster, who's super expensive on this slate, and you want to play a Towns or a Whiteside, you got to save a little bit somewhere. And I think point guard, this is a slate where point guard's not loaded. So I think playing something like Beverly in cash is perfectly fine. After that, then you go under 5K and you're talking about MCW. I'm not a huge MCW guy with Wade because really he could end up playing 16, 18 minutes. They don't need a point guard. Wade and Butler are basically the point guards in the fourth quarter. But if MCW has a good first quarter, he'll get extra minutes. So I don't mind him. And I guess you could actually play him in cash too. I mean, he'll find a way to get you 15 FanDuel points, like the floor. And I think the ceiling is close to 30 maybe. So you can play him in cash. I'd prefer Beverly. He's basically the same price. But I'm not a huge fan of him in this slowdown game. Plus the minutes I think could be an issue anyway. Tony Parker's there if you want. Manuel Moutier is 4.5K. Moutier, he's a weird guy, man. He is the epitome of a guy who's standing in line with me at Magic Mountain. He had like 10, 11 crappy games in a row. And then on Monday night, I think it was during the day, Denver played Orlando. He played 37 minutes, 18 points, 13 assists, 42 FanDuel points. Where the hell did that come from? I mean, he was under 20 in like five straight games or four or less five games. So Moutier, he's a tournament player. Now he gets the crappy Lakers defense. Gary Harris is out. Maybe he gets a few extra minutes. So if you want to throw him in some tournaments, absolutely on this slate. Rajon Rondo, 4.1K. He'll be a sneaky ninja of mine. He is getting minutes now. He's in the rotation. If he comes in and gets it going, I think his floor is like 15 FanDuel points, and he can give you like 30. So a sneaky ninja play on a five-game slate, you got to get creative. I think if I have 10 lineups, maybe I have one, maybe two of Rondo. Shooting guard, James Harden. So Harden is not cheap. He's 12.3K. But this is a slate I think you just got to go for raw number of points. And I think the opportunity cost is too great if you fade Harden, especially in cash. If you want to take a chance in tournaments, which I think is even in tournaments on this slate, it's going to be a little tough to do, although you can do it in tournaments. But cash games, no, just get him in your lineups and move on. It's expensive, but he's coming off a bad the last two games, 49 and 39, and then 58. So, I mean, really, we need over 60. But on this slate, if he gets like 50, 55, which I think is his floor, That's probably going to be enough in cash games at least. So just get him in there. DeMar DeRozan, 9.4K. He's super freaking expensive. He's got a monster usage rate of 34.3%, which is top five in the league, I think. Someone needs to tell him that he's not Russell Westbrook. He's not James Harden, but I guess no one's telling him because he keeps jacking up shots. I mean, at that price, he's got to give you – he's such a one-trick pony. He's got to give you 45 FanDuel points, and he's got to give you at least like 30 actual points, hit value. He's done that like maybe three times our last 10 games. At that price, do I see it happening? Probably not. Even though, I mean, then you factor in they are playing Brooklyn. They're playing way up in pace. So he does have factors that go in his way, and he's going to have – I mean, Brooklyn plays no defense against anyone. With that said – give me Harden every day of the week over DeMar DeRozan, and maybe in a couple tournaments I fade Harden and I pray he has a bet off night, and I pray DeMar gets super hot against Brooklyn. But 9.4K is just too cheap for him. I mean, too expensive for him. He should be about 8.5K. D Wade, 7K. I love the fact that Wade has coming off like 3 days rest, but the pace of this game is just going to be nasty. The way you win tournaments though is taking guys. You saw it with Bledsoe on Monday. You take guys who are talented. And Wade, don't get it twisted. Wade's still really good. He's still got a 31% usage. His usage is higher than Jimmy Butler. So when Wade plays, he's good. And if he's making a shot, he can put up a 45, 50 FanDuel point night. And the way you win tournaments is that you play really good players in crappy paced games where they're going to be low owned. So Wade's going to be low owned on this slate, and I think he's a really good tournament play. But the pace hurts. I'm not going to lie; it's going to be a struggle for anyone in that Bulls game, or Dallas game to put up a monster line. But are one or two guys probably going to do it? Yeah, we just got to figure out who. Zach LaVine, 6K. So I mentioned you can attack the Spurs at shooting guard. LaVine, you know he's going to play a ton of minutes. You also know he's a one-trick pony. So there's always risk when you play a guy like LaVine. But on a five-game slate, you can't. A shooting guard's not great. You can't be too picky. I'm not using him in cash on this slate, but I will play him in tournaments. Eric Gordon's 5.8K. He's been good. He's just been super consistent, super steady all year long. He's had one bad game, and that was against Memphis, so I'm going to overlook that. In like the last, it seems like the last 2 months, he's had bad shooting nights. But the thing is, he shoots so much and so many three-pointers. You know, even when he has a bad shooting night, he's still going to find a way to give you 20, 25 FanDuel points. So he's fine. To me, he's fine in all formats on this slate. Wesley Matthews, I would just prefer, you know, he's like a weaker version of Eric Gordon. So I would just prefer to play a guy like Eric Gordon. I mean, Matthews is fine, but you're talking about Gordon's going to get an extra, 15, 20, 30 possessions in this game and take about – and also Wes Matthews doesn't shoot, especially since Dirk is back. His usage is even going lower. I mean, right now Wes Matthews' usage rate is – where is it? It's 20.7%, which is disgusting. That's horrible. So, you know, I prefer a guy that's going to get more shots, such as Deion Waiters, 5.2K. Miami playing way up in pace. Waiters has shot the ball horrifically since coming back from injury. The last two, I mean, I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he was like 5 for 17 or 3 for 12 or something. I mean, the last two games, really crappy. But 31 and 38 minutes, and he still found a way to get you 23, 27 FanDuel points. I mean, I'm telling you, he is going to have, and now he gets James Harden defense. He's going to have a 40, 45 FanDuel point night really soon. Because Miami, he will not stop shooting. That is, and his minutes are locked in right now, especially because Josh Richardson is still out. So Deion Waiters, I don't care. To me, he is safe with that, with his usage rate and that many shots. He is safe for all formats. He's going to win me a GPP this year. I know it. Will the throw Barton? So Gary Harris is out. Will Barton's price is I guess I should have mentioned Jameer Nelson at point guard, sneaking into play. He got lots of minutes on Monday, and Gary Harris is out. So I'm not sure who they're going to start. Maybe they start Jameer. Maybe they start Will Barton. Either way, Jameer Nelson is going to play 24 to 26 minutes. He's like 3 point. I think he's like almost the minimum. So Jameer Nelson is – you can play him in any format you want. And there's not a lot of value on this slate, so Jameer Nelson might be one of the best value plays. Will throw Barton. Tournaments only for me, but they are playing the Lakers. So – he's cheap, and he could give you a 30, 40 FanDuel point night. Lou Williams is there, tournaments if you want. Sean Kilpatrick, I mean, he's 4K. I know he's kills our lineups every night. And if Brooklyn plays their entire roster, the last game for Brooklyn, I'm not lying, they played 13 players, which I don't know. I did not know that's possible to do. Kilpatrick only played, 23 minutes. But he took 11 shots, which was the tie for the second most shots on the team. He just made two. At 4K, if he makes, you know, four or five of those shots, he basically hits value. So he's going to get 24 minutes at 4K. I think he's at that price, man. He's playable in almost any format. I understand why you wouldn't want to do it in cash. But I don't understand why guys like Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, who got 17 minutes last game, and Kilpatrick, who got 23, don't get more minutes. It makes no sense. I mean, they played Joe Harris 20 minutes, Dinwiddie 24 minutes, Hollis Jefferson only got 17, Quincy Acey got 20 minutes, Whitehead, Blackhead, Yellowhead got 15, LeVert got 22, Randy frickin' Foy got 17 minutes. It's just Brooklyn, that it's just a mess what that guy's doing. That guy's what a horrible coach that guy is. Granted, his team sucks, but Kilpatrick, he's another guy. He could help someone win a tournament if he just is making shots at that. He's so cheap right now. Seth Curry, keep an eye. What if Dallas starts Seth Curry? He's a sneaky ninja play. I think they started him a couple games ago. And he's 15, 25 FanDuel points the last two at that price. That's okay. Nick Young, while Nick Young's price is skyrocketing down to 3.7K. He's been awful lately, but another guy, if he gets hot, he's still getting 26, 29 minutes a night. And then Joe Harris, I think I mentioned him. He played 20 minutes last game, so I think he had like almost 20 FanDuel points. All right, now I'm ugh. I hate when I say I think he got, whatever. I'm just gonna go look exactly how many FanDuel points he got. He got 19 FanDuel points. Man, I hate when I get anal like that, man. That's the lawyer in me. I need to be certain of it. All right, small forward. Jimmy Butler, 9.5K. To me, it's just too expensive. If Wade was out, I'd be much more comfortable doing it. With Wade and his 32% or 31% usage rate, Chicago playing way down in pace, I don't think you need to do it. I think Butler's still going to find a way to get close to 40. But it's expensive, and on this slate, I just don't think you need to do it. Granted, there's not a ton of superstars either. So if you can fit him in, he should be fine. Kawhi Leonard, 8.8K. Kawhi's price is rising now too. I mean, he's been good lately, 46, 40, 52 the last three. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is somewhat of a sneaky good defender. Where is their defensive first position? Yeah, Minnesota gives up like the fifth fewest FanDuel points to small forwards. I mean, I guess I would prefer Kawhi slightly to Jimmy Butler just because the pace of this game is going to be so much better. So Kawhi's safe for all formats. He's been really good. Harrison Barnes, 6.8K. You know, he's the last game against Minnesota, he struggled. Before that, 40, 33, 30, 33, 42. I'm a little nervous that the usage is eventually going to come down with Dirk back. Also, this is a disgusting, nasty game. He's expensive. I think there's other guys I just would prefer to play. I'd prefer to play a Kawhi, and then there's guys, as you'll see in a second, you could some cheap small forwards you can get. But Barnes is an interesting tournament play. Andrew Wiggins, another guy, tournaments only for me. He's going to get some Kawhi Leonard defense, so that is not something that I'm looking to take advantage of. Kawhi Leonard, still probably the best defender in the NBA, in my opinion. Last time Wiggins played the Spurs, he put up 16 FanDuel points. So hopefully he can do a little bit better than that. Tournament only for me. Gallinari, 5.9K. Great matchup here against the Lakers. The thing that concerns me is he played 40 minutes on Monday. So a back-to-back for Denver. He's somewhat consistent this year. I mean, again, I keep waiting for him to have a monster night, and it doesn't happen. But 24, 24, 25, 20, 34, 37 FanDuel points last few games. Against Lakers, man, pretty much safe for all formats, though. I'm fine with him any format on this slate. The upside's not tremendous, though. Trevor Ariza, I will absolutely have my obligatory? Is that a word? I think it's a word. My obligatory one lineup of James Harden, Trevor Ariza. Maybe I have more. Last game against Brooklyn, Ariza went nuts. He had 40 FanDuel points, and he's relatively consistent this year. He's not really a one-trick pony because he can get you rebounds, he'll get a few assists, and he'll get steals. So I like teaming him up with Harden, and I think one day that too, that's going to, in the near future, going to win someone a GPP. It already has this year, but it will again. Wilson Chandler. So he's basically the same price as Gallinari. I think they're both excellent plays. For whatever reason, Wilson Chandler did not start on Monday because Mike Malone got wacky. So the minutes were only 21 minutes. Wilson Chandler's no spring chicken. If Wilson Chandler was starting, I probably would prefer him to Gallinari. Since he's coming off the bench, I guess I would prefer Gallo in cash games. But Chandler could go off. If he gets a few extra minutes against that crappy Lakers defense, he's a pretty good tournament play. Everyone's favorite player in DFS now, who was unplayable 2 weeks ago, and now he was 50% owned last game out, for a variety of reasons. But now Damari Carroll, he's 4.6K, and that's still too cheap. So he's going to be like 50% owned again on Tuesday. But quite honestly, lock and load, get him in your cash games. 4.6K at Brooklyn. It's too cheap. The matchup's too good. Brooklyn stinks. He had 31 Fando points last time he played Brooklyn. The last few games, he's been excellent. 28, 31, 20, 37. Looks like they're finally giving him over, you know, big, like big minutes. And that's the main reason that was holding him back all year long was the minutes. So now he's getting minutes. He's going to be 5.5K in about a week from now. So take advantage. Everyone's going to play him. But sometimes it's just too hard to pass, especially on a small slate. It's just too hard to pass up on a guy. So if you want to fade him in a tournament, sure. But, you know, cash game, just get him in there. Other than that, you got Luol Deng, 4.2K, Bogdanovich, one-trick pony, tournaments for only for him. Brandon Ingram, one day he's going to go off. The problem is it might not be until like 2018. He's also there. Those we don't speak of, those of you new to the show, that's Doug McDermott is 4K, but Wade's back. Remember that, so not an elite play there. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, if he could ever get minutes, God forbid, he's the one guy for Brooklyn who I think is the most talented and does have probably the most upside. And he's not a one-trick pony. He can fill up a stat sheet. But the minutes have been super low lately, and I do not know why. All right, power forward. All right, I need to drink some of my smoothie. Please talk amongst yourselves. Man, I think I've noticed, I don't know how many out there do your own podcasts. You gotta come with like a lot of energy. And some days, it's just hard to like summon the energy. I don't know if you listened to like yesterday's show. Yesterday, I found it very difficult to find the strength, the enthusiasm, to power through an hour-long show and make it entertaining. Some days, it's just hard, man. The judge, though, is trying. I will power through two positions left. I should not bang on the gavel at 4 in the morning. Then I just woke the bailiff up doing that. All right, power forward, though. And let me tell you something. I see something coming out of the surface, something rising, something coming at me. It is monstrous. What is it? It is Jokic. 8.5K. I mean, this guy to start the year. How many guys have there been in DFS? We should all make a list that have went from unplayable to basically chalk plays who are like 50% owned now on any given night. I mean, Jokic, he's been like the best player in the NBA the last like couple weeks. It's been unbelievable. Against Orlando on Monday, he was phenomenal. Had a career high in actual points with 30, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, had 55 Fando points. I mean, I thought his price yesterday at 8K was too expensive. Now it's 8.5K. And he gets the Lakers, who stink defensively at every position, especially power forward. He gets fat Waffle House Randall. You know, I said yesterday that price is getting almost too expensive for me. So now what the hell do I say? I have no idea what to do here. He's going to be super high owned again, even at that price. And what's he going to be? He's going to be more expensive than Anthony Davis in like a week from now at this rate. You know, again, I let the slate dictates what I do. The slate, everything on the slate says you got to play Jokic in cash. So that's probably what I'm going to do. I think he's an excellent fade in tournaments? Yeah, I actually do. Because, I mean, come on. Everyone has an off night. I said that about Devin Booker, I think, I said about a couple guys on Monday. But Devin Booker was one of them. But, I mean, look at LeBron. Look at the Cavs. It just happens. He can't be good every night. And now he's super expensive. So, but in cash games, should you probably play him against the Lakers? Yeah, you should. And in tournaments too, is he a good play? Yeah. He's just going to be super high owned everywhere. LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, he's 1.4K more expensive than Aldridge. That's freaking insane. And Aldridge has been good lately. Well, not the last two games, but before that. Last two games, he's been a mess. He's got 21 and 20. I mean, it's weird. It seems like either Aldridge or Kawhi does well. They can't play both well together. So do I want Aldridge in cash? No, but I still think he's a good single entry in tournament play. Minnesota has no one to defend him. Gorgui Dieng cannot defend him on the perimeter, and Towns is just a bad defender in general. Julius Randle, 6.2K. Him and Russell both just super inconsistent. Fat Randall has been super disappointing the last two games, 17 and 14. But because of recency bias, that makes him a really nice, excellent play here. It would be great if I played him in a tournament and he somehow could get Jokic, and I fade Jokic, and he could somehow get Jokic in foul trouble. That would, you know, kill two eggs and one, wait, what is it? What's the phrase? Two birds and one stone? Yeah, I guess that's a phrase. And by the way, why would you be throwing a bird out? Could you really kill a bird with a stone? I mean, you have to be pretty accurate, right? I mean, birds are pretty fast. I don't know. I don't know who came up with that saying. Anyway, Fat Waffle House Randall. I probably won't go there in cash, but I think he's in a good tournament play. James Johnson, I mentioned at the top of the show, I think he's going to give Ryan Anderson all kinds of trouble. He's too athletic. He's too fast. He's been Miami's most consistent player. My favorite thing, he's got 38 minutes last game. So 33, 28, 25, 31, 33 Fanduel points. He's almost a lock and load right now for me in cash games. Just get him in there and move on. Playing way up in pace. This is the perfect perfect style game for him. Dirk Nowitzki, 5.7K. He's been pretty good for Dallas. So 32, 29, 38, 21, 27. Looks like this is almost some of the Dirk of old. I mean, granted, it's just Dirk, and he is old, but he's playing well. So if there's a guy for Dallas, I'll probably play on this slate. Dirk's still – he's still cheap. And his game – there's no way to, I mean, if he's hitting fall-away jumpers, there's no way to defend that. You know, it doesn't matter who they put on him. So he's fine. He's quite honestly, at that price, he's fine for all formats. If you want to roll out a James Johnson, Dirk Nowitzki cash game lineup, you can probably do it if you want. If you want to try to fade Jokic and get, you know, not the smartest move in the world, but you could do it. Trevor Booker, elite tournament play. You know, besides Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, he has the most fantasy-friendly game for Brooklyn, and I guess Brook Lopez. So occasionally he'll get to over 24 minutes, and when he does, he'll put up a good line. It's just we never know when that's going to happen. But last time he played Toronto, he got 27 minutes, got 20 Fanduel points. The last three games, he's got 31, 20, and 32. So I like him for tournaments. Taj Gibson is fine, not a ton upside there. Gorgui Dieng. Whatever, he's somewhat similar to Andre Drummond, except like Drummond just doesn't try and falls asleep. But sometimes he looks like Gorgui Dieng. He's so emotionless on the court. I wonder if he's awake, but not much upside with him. He's coming off one of his best games in a few weeks, or at least in a week or so. But he is cheap. He was 6K about 2 weeks ago. So, but the Spurs are a tough matchup. Ryan Anderson. I love me a James Harden, Ryan Anderson lineup, and Ryan Anderson's dirt cheap, 5K. Even if guys like Eric Gordon, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, even if they have off shooting nights, they're still going to get close to hitting value. And if they're making their shots, they will smash value. So this stuff, I mean, that price is so cheap for Ryan Anderson. I'll have a lot of exposure in tournaments. Kenneth Faried, this is a really interesting sneaky play now. He's 4.3K. He got the start out of nowhere on Monday, and he produced 33 Fanduel points. If I find out he's starting again at that price against the Lakers, hell yeah. If he's starting, he's safe for all formats. And that's as low as I'm going to go, power forward. Center. You got Towns. Towns has been excellent lately against everyone. Against Dallas, only had 34 Fanduel points in a slowdown game. And the Spurs are somewhat similar to Dallas in pace, and also they're really good defensively at the center position. I'm curious to see who defends Towns, because Pau Gasol is not a good defender. I'm not sure who the hell the Spurs put on him. I would expect them not to have Pau Gasol on Towns, though, because the Spurs give up the fewest points to two opposing centers. So, you know, Towns, I don't want to go that route in cash at that price, but I still think he's a good tournament play. I've seen him destroy Gobert and, you know, other elite centers, Steven Adams. So the matchup will probably mean that I don't want to play him in cash, but I still would play him in tournaments, absolutely. Whiteside, 8.9K. Whiteside is in a beautiful matchup here. I don't care if Capella comes back or doesn't. Capella can't defend Whiteside. Whiteside just needs someone to pass him the ball. That's the biggest issue with him in Miami. So another guy, I mean, he's expensive. I'm a little nervous to use him in cash. You know, quite honestly, right now, I'm not sure what the hell I'm going to do at center in cash. Because center, unlike most slates, is not very good on Tuesday. So I think Whiteside's a great tournament play. Is he great in cash games? Not lately. I mean, do I like the fact that Miami's playing way up in pace, though? I do, so I think I slightly prefer him to Towns. But you know what? At the end of the day, Towns still may end up with a better night. Towns is a much more consistent player just because his usage rate's higher. And they have guys like Rubio who will make sure Towns gets the ball and gets shots. I mean, Whiteside can go 10, 11 possessions without touching the ball. Brook Lopez, 7K. Just a super frustrating guy to own on any night of the week. Last time against Toronto, he did have 34 FanDuel points. Whatever. He's fine. You know, just because of the slate, I'm going to be forced to play some Brook Lopez. It's just going to be super annoying watching him standing on the perimeter, jacking up three-pointers. Pau Gasol, 6.4K. I never use him in cash, so tournaments only for me for him. My boy Jonas Valanciunas, the price is finally coming up. It was 5.1K about a week ago. Now it's 6K. But he gets the best matchup in the world against Brooklyn. Last time he played Brooklyn, he only got 25 minutes. But he gave you 32 FanDuel points. And quite honestly, because the slate's so bad, I think he may actually be safe for cash games on this slate. Even if he only gets 24, 25 minutes against Brooklyn, he will find a way to give you 25 FanDuel points. Because he's basically a fantasy point per minute player at this point. And Brook Lopez is the worst defender ever in the history of the NBA. Valanciunas is a great defender. He's a monster body. I mean, not only tall in length, in width, his girth is just massive. So I didn't think Valanciunas would be a cash game play, but remember, the slate dictates what the judge does, and this slate is telling me to play Valanciunas in cash, so I may have to do it. Montrezl Harrell, just keep an eye on who starts for Houston. Whichever center starts for Houston, that's the guy that I'll probably have some exposure to. Robin Lopez, 4.4K. He's cheap, so why not in a couple lineups? All right, that's it. That's the slate. Five games. It's actually an interesting slate. You know, it's going to be – I think you can make some pretty creative lineups. So five games. Every game, there's going to be players to attack. And let's see what we can do. Let's make some money, and let's have someone out there especially someone who's playing Chambers, let's achieve some glory, shall we? Not only someone who's playing Chambers, the listeners as well. And those, first of all, if you've been listening to the show now for the last few months and you haven't played Chambers yet, your time has come. The judge is telling you, you are ready, my friends. You are ready to enter the Chambers. So let me know. Tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1. Shoot me an email via the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. Let me know you want in Chambers. I will give you a personal invite. You will try to take down the judge on Tuesday. You need to get in there and see what it's all about. All right, guys, that's it. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm exhausted. I must get to sleep. Kobe made money on Monday, and good luck on Tuesday. I will see you guys back here for a fantastic, glorious slate on Wednesday. Court is adjourned.